Welcome to the Media Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Kenton Larson.
And it is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you, Kenton.
And also with you.
Gotta make the lisping joke every single time.
That's why they listen.
Is that right? That's right. The lisp jokes. And yeah. We have some very, very exciting Star Wars, somewhat Star Wars related guests
very
with us
much
today.
So.
From Blame Society Films, we have Aaron Yonda and Matt Sloan. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So then, of course, that's Matt and then Aaron. Let's get their voices so people know who's
this is
who.
Matt.
And
this
Aaron.
Is Aaron.
There you go.
Excellent.
So, guys, may the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
And, of course, people know...
Sorry.
What's that? People know you primarily. I would assume people know you primarily as the creators of Chad Vader, the kind of award-winning hit comedy series you guys did a few years back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. That's us.
And so I assume that you are huge Star Wars fans as a result.
Oh, yeah. We love Star Wars. Did you guys see the new spread in Vanity Fair?
We were just talking about that before we came on. What did you think of it?
It's really exciting. Obviously, the most exciting part is the fact that JJ might, squeeze in the bones of Jar Jar Binks somewhere.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. What was that?
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Yeah, they're talking about some of the little extra things they're going to, sneak into the movie here and there. There's obviously going to be a lot of, bonus stuff for all of us hardcore nerds. But I don't know if he was joking or if he's actually serious about it, but J.J. Abrams said he was going to, try to sneak the decayed bones of Jar Jar Binks into the background of a shot somewhere, really subtly.
Perfect. That's awesome. Hilarious.
Although I think he's quoted as saying he is serious. He goes, I'm dead serious about this. So that's great.
That's awesome.
Are you guys going in spoiler free?
Yeah, we're going to. Well, I mean, as much as we can.
That's generally how I like to go into any movie. Just know as little as possible about it. It's going to be tough because I'm sure that there's going to be information coming out all summer and fall. So,
well, there's tons of information coming out now. So, Matt, are you following with the Vanity Fair stuff and the trailers and all that stuff?
I saw the teaser and then I saw the second trailer. I haven't seen the Vanity Fair spread yet.
Okay, it's very nice. It's very nice. Great photography, of course, and it's exciting to see. I mean, there's no plot details at all. It's just characters, and I think that's fine. My thing is, I don't like the all the leaks and the rumors and all the stuff. There was a ton of that coming out during production, and I'm not a fan of that. I tend to ignore all of that stuff because it's not based in any kind of fact. This is all official stuff, right? So let me ask you guys this. You, of course, created this character, Chad Vader, who I see, I saw a new video up today, spoke with George Lucas recently, asking why he wasn't in the new films. Where did this character come from?
It was, it just sort of grew out of an old idea that we had, and we sort of forged a character out of... what could have just been a pretty basic Star Wars parody. We turned it into a series. The idea of a Darth Vader in a grocery store seemed really funny to us.
Yeah, it's a fish out of water comedy, and putting him in our world, it's got a lot of possibilities, and so that's what we did.
And you've done 4 seasons so far.
Mm-hmm.
Any plans for a 5th?
Not at the moment. At some point, it just sort of became the cost outweighed the actual the budget was far too large to actually continue making.
Yeah, and the YouTube landscape has really changed, and your average YouTube viewer has different expectations and different things they want to see. So we just decided to retire the series and pursue other ideas.
Okay. Actually, speak to that a little bit more. How has the YouTube landscape changed since you guys have been doing this?
Well, YouTube expects more content, more regular content. They want, in some cases, they want longer videos. And the only way to do that is to put less into the production of your videos. For example, do a video series where you drink beer and play board games.
Which is, of course, your other your current series, Beer and Board Games, something I'm a huge fan of. I've been watching it since, I think, since its inception. When did that start up?
Gosh.
5 years ago?
I think it was 5 years ago. We did like 3 episodes, and then we brought it back a little bit later. And now we've got over 100 episodes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Or nearly 200.
Or nearly 200.
Yeah, it's well over 100.
That's crazy. God damn, we've been drunk a lot.
Yeah. We release that weekly, and we do kind of bi-weekly live streams. And I think that's another way that YouTube has changed. Viewers really want shows that interact with them. Mm-hmm. And so if you're doing something narrative that's like a story, like Chad Vader, it's not as easy to do that.
Right.
Yes.
And so we've been moving kind of more in that direction. Beer and Board Games is very interactive. People, you know, get to be a part of the show, essentially.
They're a part of the show in all aspects. I mean, they're there watching us record it. They actually influence us while we're recording it. We do shout-outs to people. I mean, actually, you guys just had a shout-out. I hope that you got some new fans from that.
We did, yeah. We got quite a bit more traffic to our website from that. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Appreciate
it. So, you know, that's kind of the, you know, there's all these different levels. And the way that we make the show is fan support through Patreon. Like, the, you know, the reason that we've been doing this for so long is because people sort of insist that we keep making it. They're just like, here's some money. Keep making this show. I really like it. And we're like, okay.
Right. And another really cool thing about it is that we get approached by game designers who want us to play test their new games. They want us to promote their Kickstarter campaigns. And so that's really something that we didn't expect when we first started just drinking beer and playing board games.
Yeah.
Were you in on the ground floor of the diversity game?
Oh, man. That was great.
I got to buy that game, man. I watched that.
Good luck finding it.
I don't know that you have to.
I think I do.
I was, of course, I'm the fan. I've been following you guys for quite a while. Kenton, I had to get him up to speed with your content, so I sent him a few choice videos, some of my favorites. Among them, the Vanilla Ice rap game,
sure.
Which I believe was not only the origin of Cape Date, but also the origin of That's Not My Name. Is that right?
That might be the first time that we did it on the show.
Yeah, we did it. We've been doing it for years, just at parties and things. But that might have been the first time, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great episode. And also, I remember from that, you guys know, of course, you usually charge a couple bucks for the live stream for people to come and watch it live. But mm-hmm. I think in that occasion, you did open it up for free. Was that right?
Yeah, that was the
Christmas gift.
I think, that was the only one that we did that completely live, and it was really fun. I think it actually went pretty well. But one of the reasons that we like to charge a few bucks for people to watch is because we want you to want to watch the live show. Right. Because, you know, we do get fairly drunk, and some stuff happens that maybe we don't want everyone in the world to see. So a lot of that gets edited out. But then if you're a big enough fan, you'll pay a few bucks, you'll come and watch, and you'll get to see all that stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, if we did free shows all the time, we probably would get a lot of trolls, a lot of jerks who just want to come in and mess around, and, you know,
it would make things a little bit more negative.
Charging a few dollars, you know, just the serious fans show up for that, and that's really what makes it fun.
Yeah, I've been on for a couple of them. I can't watch live all the time because I have kids, and they demand attention at times. but the last couple of ones you guys have done, I've been there, and it seems like a really great community that you've built up around this show.
Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of repeat people coming back, and we just feel like we kind of know them.
Yeah, that's very cool.
How many? What's your fan base? How many people do you consider to be your loyal fans?
Boy, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, There's different levels of fans. There's a lot of fans who support us kind of quietly, and they don't really want to be mentioned. They just want us to keep doing it. Then there's a lot of fans who are a little bit more active. Sometimes some of them even help us out with different things that we're doing.
Sending us games and website work and things like that. One of the weird things that I've noticed is I think it's pretty much nearly an even split between men and women. Hmm. You'd expect it to be mostly guys. But but there's a lot of ladies who are fans. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I bet. And what do you know about what age group we're talking about here?
It varies, surprisingly. I mean, I think there are a lot of people our age who watch, but then I know, you know, multiple people that are older. I know a lot of people that are, you know, in their 20s, teenagers even watch. Actually, we just did a sponsored episode for a bunch of...
Parashorts.
Yeah, oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Kids in Calgary.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. And it was for young ladies who do that show, that, and then they apparently watch their show. And I think they're all, as far as I can tell, they're like 12, 13 years old, something like that. So that was surprising to me, but also kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's very cool.
They're certainly learning a lot.
And I bet you guys have been doing that. How long have you been doing this now?
We've been making videos together since like
2002, yeah.
And on YouTube since it's been around 2006?
2006, yeah.
Wow. And so I guess it's pretty cool you guys get to just make a living by making videos for YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We feel very lucky and we really, really enjoy it. So,
is your goal to make a living or is your goal to entertain? Or what do you see the end game here?
Well, being able to make a living doing it allows you to entertain more, you know,
right?
Because it's more creatively fulfilling, so as a result you're more creative. I mean, if you have a day job, it's a lot tougher to come home at night and work for 8 more hours,
right?
You know? I think they go hand in hand with each other.
Is this a tough field or industry to get into, specifically YouTube, if somebody's starting out?
I think it's tough now,
yeah.
Just because there's so much more content and there's so much more white noise, and
yeah, it's much harder to get noticed. And you know, I think we definitely came in at a point where if we'd come in a little bit later, it wouldn't have worked for us because YouTube was featuring stuff on the front page at that time. We got a number of our videos featured, and that's how it all sort of took off for us. And of course, they don't do that anymore. But I think it's still possible to find new formats and build an audience if you're one of the first people to get going in that area. You know, for example, like there's this new app called Periscope. Have you guys heard of it?
Yes, yeah. We have.
It's pretty new. Twitter just bought it, and a lot of people are Periscoping, which is basically just like living your life and, you know, turning on your phone to like show people what you're up to. Or whenever there's like something interesting going on, you whip out your phone and you start doing a live broadcast. Our friend Greg Benson sort of introduced us to it, and it's a lot of fun, but I think there's a lot of room with that particular app to, you know, if you're an interesting person or you're trying to, you know, become successful on the internet, that might be a good way to go because I think, you know, there's not a whole lot of stars on Periscope yet, so.
Not yet.
Although I watched the fight on the weekend on Periscope. Oh, I'm one of the bad people who didn't pay for that.
I read an article actually from Mashable about how they had tens of thousands of people just watching that fight through Periscope, which is kind of interesting.
It really kind of surprises me because it's such horrible quality. I can't really.
Yeah, but for a boxing match, I could see that.
Maybe for a boxing match.
You just want to see, you know, it's not like you're watching Game of Thrones or something like that.
Yeah, but
the visuals are really important.
For people to watch Game of Thrones on Periscope, like, oh man, that disturbs me. I find that offensive.
You also get to experience the person's living room who's recording it, which is my favorite. Yeah. The dog walks by.
Yeah, you see their feet in the shot. They're in the recliner. Like, okay, I'm watching TV with some weirdo. That's cool.
But people do it. Speaking of Game of Thrones, have you guys both, are you both fans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't see last night's episode, so we can't talk about that.
That's okay. But clearly, it's a series you do love.
Oh, yeah.
Every Sunday is like the best day of the week for me.
It's hard. I find it hard to get through all the TV on Sunday night sometimes. Yeah. I'm up till midnight or later because, I have kids. They have to go to sleep. Then I can watch all this stuff, and it's Game of Thrones, Mad Men, What else? There's other stuff.
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. Walking.
Oh, yeah. Silicon Valley is great. I really like Veep.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
One point of contention between Kenton and I is I don't like Veep and he does. So.
Oh, I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
We should also touch on some of the other shows you guys do in your channel. Matt, you, of course, do Welcome to the Basement,
yeah.
Which is a kind of a film. How would you describe that show?
It's a show where we watch a movie.
But the gimmick is that you have not seen the film. Is that right?
Right, yeah. Okay. So everything is spontaneous. Very little of it is scripted. And it's not really a review show. I kind of resist that label.
Right.
But there is an element of that. And it's also it's a comedy show. I like to think it's kind of balanced between comedy and actual discussion and movie talk.
That's right, and I really enjoy it. And let me ask you this: how do you go about selecting the films that you watch?
Well, it depends. I have a list I have a short list of movies that I really want to do on the show, and then I also sometimes I'll come up with themes for the month,
mm-hmm.
and so movies will kind of lend themselves to that. Sometimes Craig gets to pick the movie. Things could be seasonal or holiday related. You know, it's. That's part of the fun of doing the show is kind of planning out the year and thinking, oh, I could do this in May or whatever. But it varies.
Now, I used to work back in the day. I used to work at Blockbuster Video. At the time, I watched a lot of movies. I just got free rentals, so I used to watch movies all the time. So I would say my movie knowledge up till about 1999 is pretty good, but
yeah.
I haven't watched as many movies since then. Do you find that as you keep kind of catch up in your lists of films you haven't seen, are you going to run out of movies that you haven't seen?
No, definitely not.
No? You still got lots?
I've got a list of like 250.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's
and,
crazy.
Constantly adding to that, so it's never going to run out. But I do tend to have difficulty picking movies from the last decade or so, just because I generally watch those kind of in my spare time. You know, you want to stay up to date on, you know, new films that are coming out. So that's an area that I really want to have more of those on the show.
Right. No, and I agree. And you guys also talk about current movie stuff. You talk Oscars when it's Oscar time, and you talk about that kind of stuff as well. So
the Oscars are our Super Bowl.
Yes, that's right. and then, of course, Aaron, you do another channel, Game Society Pimps, which is a gaming channel. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's we do a variety of different stuff on there. We do we play a lot of different games. We do funny commentary. We also do some. Our friend Jason Stevens is really talented with his impressions. So we'll often have celebrities quote play video games like Morgan Freeman or President Obama, Christopher Walken. We called the Christopher Walken series Christopher Walken Through.
Right.
Awesome. And so, yeah, we do a lot of different stuff like that.
And you guys, again, you've been doing this for a while, right? With the video games?
Yeah. Yeah. About 3 years now. Sometimes it's just straight commentary where we just play a game and laugh about it. Or other times, like with a game like Skyrim, we've actually created a story within the video game, like created our own story. With characters and our own missions and stuff like that, and it's really interesting.
Kenton, that's one of your favorite games.
I love Skyrim, and I also love watching you guys playing Skyrim because you highlight a lot of the things that make the game terrible. Even though it's a great game, I can watch those guys get hammered by giants endlessly.
Right.
Yeah, so it's awesome.
No, I just mentioned it because that seems to be a category on YouTube that's just grown by leaps and bounds over the last year is the gaming videos,
mm-hmm.
Specifically the video games. But although, I mean, you guys were kind of on board with the board game thing way before anyone else either. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, board games are booming now.
Yeah, they're huge.
It's weird because when we started, it didn't really seem like that was the case, but... yeah, now they're just going nuts. Like, there's new games all the time. You know, everybody's got a Kickstarter for their game, and most of them are successful. It's kind of amazing.
And it's almost like an indie. It's like indie games, but for board games.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you guys probably saw the Exploding Kittens Kickstarter was like the most successful, just about the most successful thing on Kickstarter ever.
Yeah, that's the oatmeal.
It's like millions of dollars for, it's just a card game.
Wow.
Are you guys going to play that one on your show?
We are, actually. Yeah, we got in on the Kickstarter. So as soon as they release that, we're definitely going to play it.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Is there a favorite game that you've played over the years?
That's a good question. I think our recent favorite is Snake Oil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Snake Oil is a lot of fun.
It's actually made by one of the guys who made Apples to Apples, and he lives here in Madison, actually. And so we've been talking to him, and he's making an expansion called Snake Oil High Octane, and it's going to be sort of a off-color version of the game, which we're going to play test and stuff.
Yeah,
like
sort
that.
Of an R-rated expansion for Snake Oil, which is more of a family-friendly game. But we've been working with him, doing a lot of promotional stuff, and it's fortunate that we also really love the game.
Yeah, and you guys, again, another series you've been doing on your channel is kind of an animated series based on that game, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So what is that? Now, it sounds like it's just you guys playing the game, and then somebody else does the animation. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's we sort of decide on a celebrity for Jason to play.
Okay.
And then we choose some cards, and we're basically playing the game, but we're doing it in a way that we can get like a short thing that then this guy, his name is Ever Casas, and he's amazing.
Well, Tithinian is his YouTube handle?
Tithinian is his YouTube handle, yeah. Okay. And he does these amazing animated videos, and it turned out he was a fan of ours, so then we enlisted him to animate this because we loved his animation style so much.
Yeah, it's really cool. I would highly recommend people check that out.
What I'm interested in asking you guys is, how does being in Wisconsin inform your comedy?
Well, certainly during the winter months, sort of gives us an excuse to stay inside and make lots of videos. It's good motivation.
You know, it's interesting because I do notice over the years, as I've been following certain YouTubers, there tends to be a trend for people to migrate to California because this is where they all gather and they all collaborate in their videos. Is that something that's ever been in the cards for you guys?
Well, we did a lot of stuff out in California, and we would go to pitch meetings and things like that, you know, back when Chad was really blowing up. And I think eventually we felt like we were sort of beating our heads against the wall. And when we stayed here and focused on our channel and focused on the niche that we had for ourselves, we got a lot more done and accomplished more. And I think that really has done well for us.
And I think that you, a lot of YouTubers, they probably do get a lot more opportunities living out there, but I don't think you have to do that anymore. I think that's one of the advantages of YouTube, actually, is that you don't have to do that anymore. Like, if you look at Hank Green or John Green, the Vlog Brothers, Hank lives in Montana, Missoula, Montana. And John, I think he lives on the East Coast. No, Ohio?
Indianapolis.
Pennsylvania?
Not sure.
Indianapolis, I think.
Indianapolis?
Oh, Indianapolis. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And those guys are huge.
And those guys are, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Hank Green has his own empire out there in Missoula. And, you know, so you don't. You don't need to. You don't need to go to the big pond.
No, you're right. Actually, now that you mention it, of course, we also have Craig Benzine, who is in Chicago, Wheezy Waiter. So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people still in Middle America, as it were. They're not all going out to the coast.
Well, you know, the web goes everywhere.
That's right.
It's easier and easier to collaborate and communicate with people. So you know, you can do your own thing.
Cool.
And I was going to say, I would never leave Wisconsin. Having been to Wisconsin, I would never leave. It's the best gas station cheese in the world, probably. It is so good.
We took a trip through there one time on the way to Chicago and stopped at a gas station and bought some cheese, and Kenton can't stop talking about it 7 years
right,
later.
Right off the farm. It was amazing.
Was it squeaky?
It was. It was squeaky, yeah.
I do believe so.
Quality, it's gotta be squeaky, cheese curds. Yeah. Yep.
Well, great. Thanks a lot. Before we let you guys go, one thing we do on this podcast is we do media recommendations. So Kenton and I usually recommend something, either a movie or TV show or book or album or something like that that we've consumed in the last little while that we want to recommend people check out. Do you guys have anything you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
I would recommend the movie that we just watched in Welcome to the Basement. The episode has not come out yet, but we revealed the movie on Facebook. It's called The Phantom of the Paradise.
Ah, yes.
Mm. Very popular. You guys are in Canada, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, it's very popular up there in Winnipeg.
It is. It is, yeah. Actually.
They love that movie, and we just watched it, and not to give too much away, I was really a fan of the movie, so I would recommend Phantom of the Paradise. Probably a movie that not a lot of people have seen.
Right, and here in Winnipeg where we are, it is, if you watch the Paul Williams documentary, he says there's two places in the world where they love that movie, and Winnipeg is one of them. So
right.
we have more interaction with that movie than most places.
What's the other place? What's the other place?
France. Somewhere in France, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. What about you, Aaron? Anything to recommend?
I would recommend, if you're a gamer and you like zombies, I would recommend the game 7 Days to Die. It's a game that's in alpha. They're still developing it, but it's come a long way. And it's just really incredibly fun. It's an open world. It's survival. You're born into the world, and you kind of have to find a place to hide from the zombies, gather weapons, gather supplies, and you can craft in it. So it's almost, there's a little bit of Minecraft in there.
Cool.
Because you can actually build your own shelter, or you know, build your own house potentially, or you can take a house that already exists and bolster it. Or dig it. Like I dug a huge trench around mine so the zombies can't get at me.
But how do you get out?
What's that?
How do you get out of your house to go get things?
That's the thing. You kind of have to like build a little bridge every time you want to leave.
Future season of Walking Dead, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, guys, so where can people find you guys on the internet?
You can find us at beerandboard.com is the Beer and Board Games website. Our YouTube channel, of course, is Blame Society Films. And
that is a lawnmower.
That's a lawnmower.
Are you guys outside right now?
No.
I can hear birds chirping. I can hear airplanes flying. Sounds like you're in the backyard enjoying a nice beer.
Yeah, I have my sliding door
probably
open.
Probably should have closed the patio.
No, that's fine. It's fine. It's good. We're in a stuffy, smelly radio station, so it's good for us to hear that.
But, our YouTube channel is the main place, Blame Society Films. Or if you're a gamer, Game Society Pimps.
That's right. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
See you.
Bye.
Very cool, hey?
Hey, nice. They're very nice guys.
They are. And again, I've been a huge fan for years. I got a little nervous there. I was saying to you before we started recording.
Well, I'm a more recent fan, and you can either be informed and nervous or ignorant and not nervous. And I went with the latter.
Right. But I've talked about these guys on the podcast before.
Oh, many times. Yeah. And I really enjoyed. You sent me some links to their stuff over the weekend. I watched all of it. It's really great. I mean, I consider these guys to be like they should be an inspiration to people like our students.
Well, that's why, that's why I
take communications and want to use a new medium.
Yeah, and I think they do very well for themselves out there in Madison. And Madison, that's a very comparable city to Winnipeg. I mean, they're not. I think they're a little bit smaller than Winnipeg, actually.
Although that's where MTV sent their cameras for that. What was that show called?
Real World?
No. It was actually, I can't believe I can't think of it now. I watched the first season because it was so controversial, and all of the colleges wanted their names removed from the show because it showed people flunking out and getting drunk and destroying their dorm. And
no idea what you're talking
taking
about.
Taking drugs, yeah. College life? I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, they sent them to Madison for some reason, probably because it's such a big college town.
Yes, that's true. Anyway, let's talk.
And the best gas station cheese ever, by the way. Did I mention that? It's so good.
We didn't, we've never been to Madison. It's about 3 hours away from Chicago. One thing I forgot to ask them about, actually, was they have a couple of guys who drive in from Chicago every 2 weeks I wanted to ask them about Hugh Herbe. Damn it.
Email them.
I'll email them and ask the question.
It'll be so good for our listeners if you email them
I'll just transcribe the email. Right. But they do, these two guys drive in from Chicago and then they shoot every 2 weeks. They beer and board games and their game society stuff. And then they drive back to Chicago. So they've got these couple of guys who come in and collaborate with them. And it's just kind of a cool scene. And they're also part of the improv community there, the comedy community in Madison. So definitely check them out, Blame Society Films on YouTube.
That's
I thought
great.
We'd take a few minutes here. We didn't talk about it too much in the interview, but let's take a few minutes here and talk about the Vanity Fair cover, which you tweeted at me very excitedly yesterday. I could feel the excitement in
that
your
tweet. That was the big Star Wars announcement for May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
Today, Vanity Fair got a lock on it, and the actual issue is not out until 2 days from now, I think.
Okay.
And that's only the electronic version of the issue. I think the print version's due in a week, and that's probably US. So here in Canada, it's probably always just over a week. And it's interesting because they've released it in little spurts.
Okay.
We keep getting, like, last night we got the cover. Then, early this morning, late last night, there's the video behind the scenes of Annie Leibovitz's photo shoot. Then suddenly today they unleashed a flurry of photos from the article. And my guess is probably if we check now, the whole article will be unlocked. So it's sort of like little bit by little bit to have people keep coming back and
checking.
Yeah.
And I think that's a smart way to do things. I mean, this is it's Vanity Fair. It's yeah. a national, international, you know, publication. So you know their traffic's going to be good, and they probably make all their money based on, you know, advertisement hits. And it's one of those websites where you go to it and you get a big splash ad, and then you get the option to skip the ad if you want to, or have to yep. look at it for 15 seconds. It's part of what they do. So definitely they want to bring back people as often as possible, which is good, and it gives people some more stuff to look at over the course of the day, and I think that's exciting as well.
They actually had news. The news they've revealed is J.J. Abrams, in the lead of the article, which they only got about for the first four paragraphs, and in the lead of the article, he literally says he's going to put Jar Jar's bones in the desert.
And he says,
I'm serious. He goes, I'm serious here. And he goes, only three people will notice, but they'll love it. And it's like, I don't think only three people will notice.
Now that we know it's there, if he didn't say anything, three people would notice. But now that we know it's there, we're all going to be freeze-framing it on our DVD players.
So Jar Jar is some Lawrence of Arabia figure who perished in the desert.
Well, I should mention, this kind of ties into what I've been watching over the weekend. I tried catching up a little bit more on the Star Wars Clone Wars series, and I just think it's hilarious, the running gag that Jar Jar almost dies in every episode he's in.
Almost dies.
It's hilarious. It's very funny.
It's good. It's well done.
Yeah, and I think that it's funny that even at that stage, which was, you know, a few years ago, George Lucas was still very much involved in Star Wars at the time, but even he was willing to poke fun at this character that he created that everyone hates so much, but apparently he likes.
But the Clone Wars also made the Gungans actually kind of cool from time to time, so that's hard to do, and they did it, so good for them.
It's a good series, and I'm getting through. I'm almost done season one, so I'll get through the rest of it. I'm sure I'll get through it before the new film comes out, because I'm still working through my order, my machete order.
Oh yeah. The other thing in the article is we found out the characters now. We know who the characters are. This was also news today. Adam Driver, Lupita Nyong'o, and I always mispronounce her name, and Gwendolyn Christie. We found out what all of their characters are.
And we already suspected Adam Driver's character was that dark figure. He is clearly the Sith Lord. He is the one with a three-pronged lightsaber.
Yeah.
And
hanging out on the snow planet with the snow troopers.
Right, snow troopers, who apparently we got a glimpse of in the trailer. I saw that a while back. Someone freeze-framed that shot.
Yeah.
Big shot of the stormtroopers, and there's a couple of those snow troopers in the background. But the other things that I guess maybe this was revealed before, but I wasn't too sure on it, was the name. It's not the Empire. It's, what is it called?
The First Order.
First Order, and the rebellion is called the Resistance.
That's right.
So are we to believe, like, this is like 30 years later after Return of the Jedi, and they're still the Resist, like they didn't win? Is that what we're telling us?
I don't think so. I've read all kinds of speculation, so this is not spoilery because it doesn't make any sense, what I'm about to say. But what people have said online, and once again, it doesn't make sense. The Star Destroyer we see in the trailers crashed on the desert planet.
Right.
But everything we've seen is this empire on a snow planet. Right? I mean, have we seen them on anything but snow?
Well, we see. I mean, there are the
Oh, there's a hangar.
There's Jakku, which is the desert planet. We see the character that's dressed as a stormtrooper there. We hear a probe droid. So I guess I'm assuming that there's a battle.
We do see the TIE fighter over the desert.
TIE fighter battle with the Millennium Falcon is over the desert. So, but there is a scene on the I want to say Hoth, but it's probably not Hoth. On the winter planet as well, right?
Yeah. So some people are suggesting that the Star Destroyer crashes, and there's how many members of the Empire are on a Star Destroyer? Like
thousands.
Like thousands.
Right.
And so they end up on a planet and they continue fighting the war, just like they'd find Japanese soldiers in World War II years later who thought Japan was still at war with America. And that's the idea, that this is a squadron that for some reason has been isolated from the rest of the fleet.
Okay, so they've kind of splintered off from the Empire.
Right, that's the speculation. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. And we also see this is not a secret either. We see the Vader helmet on a pedestal in the thing. And so I don't know. Is this like some group of soldiers fetishizing the Galactic Empire from years before? Or it's not clear. We don't know. Hmm. And same. And what's with the clone trooper? What's going on? Or the Chrome clone trooper. Sorry,
well, that's Gwendolyn Christie's character. And what we found out today. Captain
Phasma.
Phasma. So that's an interesting character reveal
as
well.
So there's a lot going on with the Empire that we don't know at this point. And it could just
be. And that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with it. Like, I really don't care. I'll go watch the film regardless of what the story details are. But I'm just wondering. It's fun to speculate, right? It's fun to say, like, what would we do if we were creating this story? And I keep forgetting. I had questions I wanted to ask these guys, and I forgot another one I wanted to ask them. But clearly, they're excited about it. So, because I know a lot of people who are like still kind of apprehensive about this film because of the prequel trilogy and the shittiness of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's obviously people still feel that way, but I think anyone who's even vaguely following any of this news is pretty excited about this movie.
And right? By the way, the what you had when you were interviewing those guys is fan-nesia.
Is that it?
Yes.
I just forget.
I met Elvis Costello once, and I'm such a bonehead. I was so excited to meet him. I was so keyed up and excited. I said, thanks for playing King of America. And he walked away, and I was like, oh, fuck, it's called Brilliant Mistake. I got the name of the song wrong that I thanked him for playing. The name of his album is King of America. And so he walks away thinking, that guy's a bonehead who doesn't even know the name of my song.
I'm sure he didn't think
that. And I was like, yeah, he did. Because he looked at me quizzically, like I hate you kind of thing. No, he didn't. Well, maybe not. I read that into his response.
Right.
But so I've had that moment where you're excited to meet somebody and you just don't know what the hell to say.
It would be great to meet these guys in person sometime. I know they do fan meetups and live events and things like that. So maybe that could be something that could happen. Not that I'm stalking them or anything like that.
But. Well, maybe next we could interview Chris Hardwick.
There we go. Yeah.
Send him an email. That.
We've been actually talking a bit about future guests on the podcast, and I think that we're going to have a fun summer full of guests.
Well, we'll try to plug into our networks here and see who we can dredge up.
Well, certainly we'll have the pub chat guys on. We've been promising that for a while. Now that we don't have classes, we can probably schedule that a bit easier.
Yeah.
I was just telling you before we started airing that, recording that, there's another peg jam happening, a game jam happening at the end of May, and we'll be interviewing Dylan Freeze, and perhaps Super Gamer Mark McAvoy would like to come back on the podcast and talk about video games.
Why not? And maybe more. And maybe some special guests, maybe some new Twitter friends who are famous would like to listen in. By the way, I saw Lisa Lampanelli on the weekend, and she called me an Einstein-looking motherfucker. I was in the front row of the audience, and I was like, maybe I could get Lisa Lampanelli.
Maybe. I realized last week was my birthday, and as a birthday present, my mom bought me tickets to Dave Barry. What's his name? Todd Barry. Todd Barry is playing at the King's Theater, the Park Theater.
I've seen Todd Barry, as I've said, open for Ricky Gervais, so I saw him from like a mile away, so I've seen him. However, that's the night I am doing a internal communication seminar at the Women's Enterprise Center. So I'm going to throw that plug out. And I'm going to try to lure you away from Todd Barry.
No, there's no way.
I'm going to lure you
away. I almost said Dave Barry.
I'll be reading
his columns.
Exactly. Anyway. I'll try to be as sardonic and sarcastic as Todd Barry in my presentation at the Women's Enterprise Center.
All right. That sounds good. I think that's going to do it. Let's not do recommendations
for us. No. We'll save it for Friday.
We'll do Friday's episode.
We'll keep it in our pants till Friday.
Yeah, that sounds good. But this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we got these guys on.
It was.
Thank you very much to Matt and Aaron from Blame Society Films for being on the podcast. I think that's going to do it.
They seem like very nice fellas. It was really nice.
They're very nice. Yeah. And again, so check them out, Blame Society Films on YouTube. And from there, you can link to all their other places. And of course, we are the Media Nerds. You can find us at medianerdspodcast.com. That's going to do it for this episode. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the door hit you on the ass.